Thank you very much, Ken. And hello, everyone. Again, hello again. This is, what, my third time today. So it's nice to be here with you. And yes, I enjoyed listening to Craig very much. So we might see him here in the sanctuary again. We'll see. I'm gonna get in touch with him, as I mentioned, in a couple of days. What we are going to do tonight is we're going to try something a little different, because I know that you all haven't been able to hear Ellie, and I don't know if we'll be able to make it so that you can hear Ellie, but we're going to try something a little different. Ken is going to try playing the Ellie Ruzdar audio, and I will let him know when to stop it, and then I'll take the mic and speak. So we'll see if that works. If not, we'll go back to the way I was doing it before. Last week, when we were listening to the Ellie Ruzdar audio, what it really kind of ended with is, if you genuinely are not ready to apply yourself fully to this purpose of awakening, and what Ellie means by that is, if you are, you know, just genuinely not interested in setting down and closing your eyes and focusing your attention on the watcher. And we just heard Craig say, at least an hour a day. We know that Michael Langford says at least 2 hours a day. And it seems to me that Ellie said she did it for around three, four, maybe sometimes 5 hours a day. But if you just find that you're just not ready for that, you think about awareness, watching awareness. You always are planning to start tomorrow, kind of like, you're going to start a diet tomorrow. But the truth is, it's just not there yet. The genuine interest, the genuine motivation to do it is not there. Then what Ellie recommends is go ahead and go on with your life. But, be aware, or what we might call it, be mindful. She says that if you can't be awareness, at least be aware. And she also says that if you go back into life without being aware, without being mindful, you are going to suffer. And, of course, we all know the reason for that is because you're going to start believing that mind chatter. And that mind chatter is most definitely going to lead to suffering. Maybe not 100% of the time, but, it's going to be on again, off again, right? And so the only way to go about an everyday life without suffering is to at least remain mindful, at least remain aware. But if you do feel that you are ready, for a deeper step into truth, then she recommends the same thing that we just heard Craig recommend, the same thing that Regina recommends, the same thing that Michael Langford recommends. I mean, just the same recommendation we keep hearing over and over and over again. Craig just called it turning awareness on itself. We here often call it awareness, watching awareness. Ellie called it putting attention on the watcher, right? If you really feel that you're ready for that, then do that. And again, the recommendation is do that for as much time as you can. Now, one thing about Ellie Ruzdar is that Ellie was and is married and a mother. Now, she did have a job. She was a math teacher. And when she got really ready to go deep into awareness, she let go of her job. She was able to do that. Her husband was able to support her. She was able to let go of her job. But she did not let go of her husband. She did not let go of her children. So she still had these other focuses. But there was a certain amount of time, and I think if I remember correctly, she describes it as the mornings. I think she would go for a walk, take a shower, and then meditate. That was her general routine. She had this time every day where she was wanting to go in. Wanting is the key word there. Wanting to go in and focus on awareness. In fact, she says this cannot be a chore. She says you can't do it because, someone tells you to. So you can't go in and do this because, you know, Regina tells you to, or Michael Langford tells you to, or Ellie Ruzdar tells you to. It can't be a chore. It has to come from you. You have to be ready for it, right? And again, that's why she says, if you're not, she says, that's okay. If you're not ready for it, then go on and do whatever you're going to do and remain mindful. And that's really what she was talking about at the end of last week. So what we're going to do now is move forward in this audio and see what comes next. And Ken, I will put my hand up as soon as I'm ready for you to stop it. And let's see how this goes. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to doing it the way we were before. So Ken, I'm releasing the mic for you to play the audio.
Oh my goodness, thank goodness this was a nightmare. It's the same thing in here. Because this play is a dream. You don't know that if you don't wake up. You see this as reality. This is as unreal as the time that you go back, you go to sleep at night. Exactly they are the same. Exact. There's no difference. But in the midst of these experiences, if you could capture yourself as who you are, you wake up. But the point is, the person who is aware can capture herself, not unaware. If you are constantly contemplating about who you are, and what you are, and where you are, these are all good questions. Where am I? Who am I? Where am I? What am I? These three questions constantly should be in your heart.
All right. So who am I? What am I? And where am I? And the where is not, like right now I'm in my office. Because that would be looking at the body, right? Where am I? Is another way of looking within. In fact, some of you might remember that in the Gentle Healing Group, we had a short video that we looked at earlier, where the person who was leading us in the video was asking the question, where am I? Where am I? And when you ask the question, where am I? Again, you close your eyes. And you're looking to notice where am I? And, you know, again, often a lot of people will say in the head. You know, that's probably the most common answer, in the head. But if you really pay attention to that answer, you know, I'm in the head. You know, first of all, you might ask yourself, well, why do I think I'm in the head? And I know in my case, it was because there were these sensations there, and I was mistaking myself for those sensations. But I just kept watching those sensations, thinking that that was the self, thinking that that was awareness, thinking that I was watching awareness. And then one day it just dawned on me. It happened very spontaneously. I realized I was looking at the head, or the sensations in the head. And then, well, then where am I? And I had to turn around and look. And if you really turn around and look and try to find where am I, although there's a definite knowing that I am, right? There's a definite knowing that I am, you can't find the where. And so that helps to get rid of the feeling of this localization, like I'm in my head or I'm in this body. When you can't find it, you know it's here. I am it. You know it's here, but you can't find it like you can find an object. So who am I? What am I? Where am I? Are all questions that really help to investigate this. Because remember, we don't want to believe I am awareness. We want to look until we have that genuine experience, that genuine knowing. Remember she said this is a knowledge problem. We don't know who we are until you have a genuine knowing of, ah, that's me. That's what I am. That's my truth. However that knowing would be expressed by you. All right, I'm going to release the mic for you, Ken.
And in the midst of that nightmare, he simply asks himself, who am I? Who am I in the midst of this? And then, yes, it can happen. Absolutely. Absolutely it can happen. And in each body is so unique. No two bodies are identical with him. Because this divine that I'm experiencing does not want copy. It's a variety.
I understand.
All right, well, you can hear the laughter there. You know, she said that the eye does not want to copy. Each one is unique, and this is really important. I mean, this isn't even a minor point. This is very, very important. What happens when we listen to people who have had these awakening experiences, you know, is, again, we keep asking, you know, how did this happen, right? How did this happen? How did you awaken? What were your practices? What can I do? And to some degree, you know, we're giving answers to that. We're giving answers, and the answer seems to keep coming back. Really two primary answers, maybe three. We could say three, but one answer is inquiring into your beliefs, your perceptions, your thinking in order to see that it's false, that it's not true, that it's made up, right? I called that little S self-inquiry or false self-inquiry. And the other is paying attention to awareness, awareness watching awareness. But what she's saying here is she's saying that the I doesn't want to copy. In other words, it wants each it, God, whatever you want to call it, it wants each awakening to be individual. It doesn't want repeats. You know, each one of us is an individual flower. And we will flower in our own individual way. So if there's too much effort trying to copy another, trying to walk right in their footsteps, determine what their footsteps were to awakening, and walk exactly in their footsteps, that's a mistake. I mentioned a while ago that there are, you know, two primary practices, and I said, well, three, but then I went on to talk about two. Let me talk about that third one now. The third primary practice is learning to listen within yourself. You know, Craig just called it listening to the heart. A Course in Miracles would call it listening to the Holy Spirit. I tend to call it listening to intuition. You have to find your way within yourself. You have to learn what that feeling that is guiding you appropriately, what that feels like, and you have to follow that. And, you know, if the instruction is, for example, to meditate, let's say, 3 hours a day from some teacher, that may or may not be perfectly appropriate for you. Right? Even if you know that awareness, watching awareness is repeatedly recommended and you can feel the genuineness of that, for you it might be an hour and a half a day. Or for you it might be 5 hours a day. Or for you, it might be 5 hours, 3 days a week. And this isn't being decided by your ego, because the ego is not going to lead you to realize the self. This is what you know within yourself you are to do. You know, we just heard Craig say he hasn't missed a day in 20 years of meditating. Well, if I was to set that goal of never, ever missing a day, there would be some days that come along, like when I'm traveling with my family and we're all in the same motel room, where I'd be trying to force it in and it didn't fit. It simply didn't fit. So I have to know, in my case, what feels really, really right is to Meditate for as long as possible. That's the answer for me. As long as the day allows. And again, I've told you all that that varies by the day. In fact, this morning, because I was the admin, I didn't get to meditate at all. Right? But as long as the day allows. As a general rule, meditation is something I do. As a general rule. But I also have to know that there are some days, occasionally, rarely, when it's not going to happen, and I have to be okay with that too. Right? That's what feels right for me. And then don't lie to myself about that. Know the difference between the days when it's not going to happen, like this morning, and the days when the ego is trying to keep me away from it. Right, I have to know that difference. And on the days when the ego is trying to keep me away from it, I go and do it anyway. Right, I have to know the difference between the excuses and the truth of today it's not going to happen. And that's what's right for me. Each one of us has to find that. Each one of us has to find our way. It's not trying to copy another. So we have some very good general instructions. The general instructions are we need to inquire into our beliefs and perceptions and see that they aren't true. We need to focus our attention on awareness, on the watcher, get to know the true self. And we need to find that inner guidance system and follow it. Those are the three things. All right, Ken, mic is yours.
Yeah, so let's say, people ask me about money. I say, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. Go and listen to my interview. It says everything. Because my awakening has nothing to do with yours.
I understand.
I mean, what does that have to do with you? You're completely coming in a different kind of a background and a, you know, history and whatever, conditioning in the body of yours.
Whoops.
The way it's going to work, everything else has been ever awakened. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be so different. It's the same truth. Everybody ends up with the same exact truth. End up the same, but in so many variety of ways. 7 billion different ways it can happen. But so far it didn't. And it wasn't meant to be. It is not meant to be for majority of the population. As of this moment I'm talking about. As of this moment that we're talking about. Never, it's not meant to be. So if it's not, then you don't come just because this is so.
Okay, one thing she just said that, you know, at least last year when she was saying it and when Michael Langford was saying something different, it offended people. It discouraged people. And so I want to look at it again. One of the things she just said is basically that now is not the time for awakening for the majority of people. Right? It's just not. You know, and we've heard Michael Langford use terms, I don't remember exactly what his numbers are, but something like 1 in 8 million people or whatever number he uses. I don't even remember what the number is. You know, what they did not say, not you. And that seems to be the way the message is being taken. Like they're saying, not you. This can't happen to you. And they didn't say, not you. They said the majority of the people right now are not ready for this. And it only takes a little bit of honest looking around the world to go, oh yeah, that's true. The majority of the people are not interested in this. They're not ready for this. You know, I mean, that's the easiest thing in the world to look around and see. And in fact, even a lot of people on the spiritual path are not ready. They're not interested in genuine spiritual practice. They're interested in, you know, being the spiritual person, which is completely different. Right? They like dressing in the spiritual clothes and doing the spiritual things. You know, it's a spiritual ego. Not everybody wants to get up in the morning and, go immediately to contemplation and meditation. It's not their love. It's not what's calling their heart right now. And that's okay. Nobody's saying that they're bad or that they're less than. It's just the way it is. You could say the calling is not there. But if the calling is there for you, if you genuinely get up in the morning and this is what you want to do, you want to sit down and do whatever contemplation you're doing that day and go into meditation and you just love it, then you're being called. And in fact, something that Ellie said last week was, for those who are genuinely interested in this, awakening is certain. She said certain. Absolutely it will happen, right? Absolutely it will happen. And I think what also happens sometimes is that some of the people that are hearing this, you know, some of you, not all of you, but some of you are here and you listen to these teachings, but yet you know within yourself that you're not getting up and you're not applying yourself. You know that. And so what happens is that I am bad thought is coming up and is again somehow saying, you know, like, not you, you're not good enough, you're not going to awaken. And I say, you know, that's just the I am bad thought. Even if you aren't getting up every morning and applying yourself yet, I say keep hanging around if you want to hang around. You know, keep hanging around because, you know, if you think about a light with a lot of moths around it, right, some of those moths are a little further from the light and some of those moths are flying right into the light and getting zapped. But if, you know, if you're hanging around that light at all, you know, you can trust that you are going to get pulled into its orbit. So keep hanging around. Keep following your heart. Do what you feel to do. Don't believe, not you, you're not good enough, because that's just the ego talking. And also, I have met people along the way who did need discipline. They didn't have self-discipline. And this is one of the reasons why in the Gentle Healing Group we're starting with the Course. Because a part of what the Course does is it teaches discipline. But if you find that you're not real strong with discipline, but you know that you need discipline, you know it if you need it. I don't have to tell you. Just keep trying. Just keep trying and have that goal of, I want to be disciplined. I know that I need it and I want to be disciplined. And I think I gave a teaching a couple of weeks ago, the 7 steps to awakening. It was probably quote number 758, where I talked about when you're, quote, failing, and I said don't use judgment in that word, but when you're not doing what you want to do, like let's say you do want to get up every morning and contemplate and meditate, but day after day after day you're not, right? Just watch yourself not do it. Watch yourself fail without judgment, even though I'm using that word. Watch yourself fail and remember what you want without judgment. And if you watch yourself fail but remember what you want, there, you know, watch and remember, you are going to pull yourself with time into that routine. And it might even take some time. I mean, I wanted to meditate for years before I did. It wasn't like I watched myself fail and remembered what I wanted for a couple of weeks. It was years. But again, I'm there now, you know, in a very healthy, grounded way, and I'm loving meditation. So, you know, follow your heart. Recognize what you need to do, watch your failures, and don't judge yourself, but keep remembering what you want, and you will pull yourself into where you need to be. All right, Ken, the mic is yours.
This is a trend nowadays. Of spirituality. Now I am away from object. Now I am spiritual. If you are an experience seeker, I have news for you. In the path of spirituality, also you're looking for experience. So that's why you're not going to wake up. See? That's why. Because they are looking for experience. And most of these gurus, unfortunately, I see that, they have this, they give you this promise, per se. Okay, you are here in this kind of experience. Let me show you how to get from this point to that kind of a point, that point. So in other words, you have this experience, I help you to get to that experience. Not going to happen. Impossible. That's impossible. And the guru who says that if you are, your desire, it is not desire, your desire is not strong enough, if you don't have burning desire, I'm going to help you to increase your desire, that's another wrong thing. Do not listen to that either. This desire.
Yeah, I just want to comment on what she just said about, you know, if the guru says, I'm going to help you create your desire, don't listen to that. It's not going to happen. What I genuinely find is that as I do the spiritual practice, my desire for truth naturally increases. It might be like if you were learning to play the piano. And you learn to play a few songs and you start liking those few songs that you play, then you want to learn a few more songs. And when you learn a few more songs and they're even, you know, a little more complicated and a lot more fun, then you want to learn a few more songs. You know, it's the doing it that makes you want to do it. In my personal experience, and it is just one experience, but that's the way that desire increases. It's kind of like, again, you're getting pulled into something and you're going deeper and deeper into it. And as you get deeper and deeper into it, you get more and more excited about it. So I would say the best way to increase your desire for awakening is spiritual practice. I was listening to someone a couple weeks ago who was talking about, he meditates, I think he said 2 to 3 hours a day, if I remember correctly. And he said that most certainly there are days that his mind just doesn't want to. And he said what he tells his mind is, okay, well, we're just going to do it for, you know, I don't remember what he said, let's say 20 minutes. We're just 20 minutes, mind. Then he goes and he sits down, and by the time he's into it, 20 minutes, he wants to stay. Right? So I find that it's the practice itself that increases the desire more than anything else. All right, releasing the mic.
Desire has to be either it's in you or it's not. You cannot make it bigger and higher and more. It's not going to be like that. Impossible. Another thing. I said this maturity of the mind. Either you have it to born this, okay, or you don't. You cannot do meditation to make your mind more mature. Meditation just quiets the mind. You hear me? It just.
Okay, she says you cannot do meditation to make your mind more mature. Let me just remind you of what her definition of mature was. Her definition of mature was the mind that's ready to accept the truth simply because it is the truth. So an immature mind, for example, might accept the truth if it is bliss, but if it's not bliss, I don't want it. You know, or might accept the truth if it helps me escape my problems. But if it doesn't help me escape my problems, I don't want it. So the immature mind has conditions. The immature mind is still after some type of an experience, in her language. And if the truth will not give you the specific experience you're looking for, then you're not interested. It's conditional, just like a romantic relationship can be conditional, right? The mature mind wants the truth just because it's the truth. And she says that meditation will not give you this mind. And I can't actually comment on that because I can say meditation did not give me that mind. That if I hadn't already had that mind, I would not have been interested in meditation in my case. And if you were to ask me what made me want the truth just for the truth's sake, the answer that I would give you was noticing things that I knew weren't truth over and over and over again. You know, being in one religion, right? Being in the Baptist religion and noticing the things that were not truth, the things that they were making up. And then being with Jehovah's Witnesses and noticing the things that were not truth, the things that they were making up, the things that couldn't be true. And then eventually, you might know I did a research project where I studied every Christian religion in America, and I kept coming to that same thing where they would make stuff up. You know, they had to or highly interpret, you know, and I just kept seeing all these things that weren't truth, and that made me want to know what the truth was. And I wanted the truth just because it was the truth. You know, I was tired of not truth. I wanted truth. Well, you know, probably just like she said, our awakenings are very individual and you can't copy one another. I would imagine our maturing is the same. Getting to that point where we just want truth, it's going to happen in different ways for different people. Whether it would happen in meditation for some people or not, I don't know. But keep in mind, the mature mind is the mind that wants the truth simply because it is the truth. All right, releasing the mic.
Quiet so much so you can see, but it doesn't make your mind more mature. Maturity is the mind you have to be born with. That's it. So see, this is good news for so many people. The people that I know, some people are in your hands that are in this category. They have been always to seek care for the truth. They have been always, and they have a very mature mind, so that if somebody just points out to them, they would absolutely catch it. I mean, during these past few years, it happened to me. I interacted with so many people, and easy, the ones that are qualified, they woke up. Even over the Skype interview, they didn't even have to come here. I don't have to even invite them to come here. It's not needed. Because you're ready. Ripened. How can I say? It's not raw. People are raw. Raw means they're not ready. The readiness is not.
Yeah, even though Ellie Ruzdar has a bit of a reputation for, well, Rick Archer calls her a finisher. You know, people go to her and she takes them through this weekend retreat if she thinks they're ready and, you know, some of them wake up with her. Yeah, raw is what she said. Raw would be the opposite of mature, not ready. I agree with her that if the mind is mature, that that's just not necessary. There's no reason why anyone needs to go to someone else in order to awaken. It may happen that way sometimes, right? It may happen that way. There may be this calling to go, and that may be the spark that lights the fire. But it doesn't have to be that way. I feel the only thing that's important, and I'm certain Ellie Ruzdar would agree with me, and I'm certain Michael Langford would agree with me, is that desire for truth. And that willingness to accept it simply because it is the truth. And again, that looking, actually applying yourself to the looking and actually applying yourself to the inquiry and paying close attention to your intuition. These are the things that are important. All right, releasing the mic.
This readiness I'm talking about, this desire, this burning desire to know the truth is not there. You know? They want this. This is like part of their, you know, list, for example. I want this. Oh, also a spirituality at the end. That is, That should not be, this should be the first thing and only thing you want. Nothing else but this. But this is not easy. Even for the people who are qualified, it's not easy.
Yeah, she just said this should be the first thing and only thing that you want, right? But I think what she means by that is if you want it, right? If you really want to awaken in this lifetime, this needs to be the only thing that you want. I, again, do not think she means if this, you know, I think the way people hear it is, this should be the only thing that you want or something's wrong with you. And she's not saying that. Because remember the context of how I was interviewing her. Remember, I said, I am at the bottom of the mountain. I am ready to hike up the mountain. And I want you to tell me what I need in order to be successful. I see you as up on the top of the mountain, and I want you to tell me what I need to do. And so she's saying, well, one thing is, this desire needs to be the only thing that you want. Right? The biggest and the only. So she's answering my question. And so it's not meant as a way of telling people who aren't yet there, who don't feel that strong burning desire. It's not a way of saying you're not good enough. Every single person who ever got that strong burning desire, there was a time before when they didn't have it. Right? Somewhere, whether it was earlier in this lifetime, whether it was in a previous lifetime, there was a time when the desire was not that strong. So that's the way it is. What else can I say? So that's the way it is. And is my desire strong enough yet? I can't say. I really can't. You know, maybe 3 years from now, I'll say, oh my gosh, you know, I thought I had a strong desire back then in 2017, but now, compared to now, I can see that I didn't. But I follow my heart day by day by day, and that's what we're all asked to do in a genuine way. And I watch for when the ego is trying to keep me from following my heart, and I choose not to follow the ego and choose to follow the heart, even on the days when it seems to take great discipline to do so. Which isn't every day. It's actually, I think when you get yourself in the habit of something, it's easy. It's hard when you're not yet in the habit. Right? So if you're not yet in the habit of getting up and going to contemplation and meditation, then it's hard to get in the habit. Once you're in the habit, it's pretty easy. At least that's my experience. Okay, letting go.
For me, it was because I was alone. It was difficult. It was difficult. So, and that's why Rumi says, I say it in Persian, he says, Rahe ishqasi rahe hamam nis. This is the path of the truth, path of love. It is not path of going to the taking a shower. That's what he says.
That's funny. Can I ask another question?
No.
All right. You have said that it was difficult. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can say more about what was difficult? What was difficult?
The seeing. Seeing means enough. That inner seeing has to open up. And to be able to see, acknowledge, and merge. It needs courage.
Courage.
And the courage, if you have that.
Okay, there were two things she said there. The first thing was the scene has to open up. And I think Jacqueline kind of referenced this in her own way and a little bit during the during the conversation with Craig Holiday that we listened to just a little bit ago, she said something to Craig about, for those of us who are, you know, we're learning to practice this awareness, watching awareness, and, you know, it's like a little bit of an art. We have to, you know, get the feel of it or something like that. And Craig kind of said, like, yeah. Yeah. You know, it is something that we each have to discover on our own. Again, different teachers give different pointers, and we keep listening to these different teachers giving different pointers. But no one can actually teach you awareness watching awareness. Or the way she words it, that seeing has to open up. And she said that it's difficult. And, you know, she didn't say why it was difficult. But, you know, my guess is, based on my experience, is, again, the ego is like, you know, what are you wasting your time for every day? You don't even know what you're doing. You're just sitting here. Nothing's happening. You know, and you have, and it takes that discipline and that trust. And this is one reason why I show you all that, you know, teacher after teacher after teacher keeps making these same recommendations. Right? Because if we keep hearing that, then that hopefully motivates us to keep trying, even though maybe that seeing hasn't opened up in us. And I'll tell you what, the seeing is not going to open up through the not trying, right? It's sitting down with that intention every day and doing our best. And then one day, the seeing opens up and we're like, ah, that's what awareness watching awareness is. Ah. And D.I. talks about a child learning to tie the shoe, right? And says that, you know, the child tries and tries and tries, and then one day they tie the shoe. But actually, you know, that miracle of the day when they finally tied the shoe, you know, when they did it so clumsily at first, right? This is something that just came about through their willingness. And it's the same thing with our spiritual practice, our willingness has power in it. So we set down every willingness, having no idea what awareness watching awareness is. And we close our eyes and we're willing again. And we close our eyes and we're willing again. And then one day, it's like it slips into place. At least that was my experience. It like slips into place. And it's like, ah, right? The scene opens up. And then she also said it takes courage. Jacqueline says it takes courage to keep trying even though nothing seems to keep happening. And I think it always takes courage not to believe the ego. It always takes courage not to believe the ego, not to listen to the ego, not to follow the ego's advice. It always takes courage. And the reason that takes courage is because, well, two reasons. One, we've been listening to the ego all our lives. It's, you know, my voice, my wisdom, you know, my better judgment. That's what we think of it. So to give up that voice that we think has been protecting us and keeping us safe, that voice that we think has our best interests at heart, it takes courage to turn away from that voice. But also, it's the voice everybody else listens to. So other people in our life may think we're foolish when we start disregarding this voice and following another voice, right? So it takes courage to stop listening to that voice and to start doing something different. It does says it takes courage not to be a sack. And also, you know, we hear people talk about that fear that comes up. You know, Craig talked about it a little bit ago. You know, I have been through an experiences of fear that lasted for a couple of years, right, when I was leaving my job and all of that, all of this fear came up. We've heard Dr. David Hawkins talk about the fear that came up, you know, when he was going through the final doorway or the eye of the needle. And it takes courage not to turn and run when the fear shows up. Whenever that does for you, in whatever way that does, it takes courage not to turn and run, not to quit when the fear shows up. And it will have to show up because it's in there. All right, turning the mic over.
Bearing desire, you're going to have the courage. But if you don't have the burning desire, you're not going to have the courage.
Thank you.
It needs the courage. Because This is the depth of the ego. This recognition, it would negate what is impure in here. Impurity, fake drugs, for good. And what is left in here is truth, the only truth, and nothing but that.
Wow. I promised everybody 90 minutes, but in 45 minutes you've given me what I want.
Absolutely. I wanted to make it short because I don't want to go dance around this. Dancing around that sounds of, you can, every single person can sit down and talk about the truth. I don't want to talk about the truth.
I didn't.
I don't want to shower my knowledge to your head. I don't want to do that. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your viewers. But this 45 minutes, if they listen with their heart, it's going to hit home. For a fact, it's going to hit home. So you need to be honest to yourself. If you are not qualified, don't pick this path. This path is miserable if you are not qualified.
Yeah.
And you got to...
Yeah, that's an interesting statement. If you are not qualified, do not take this path. This path is going to be miserable. You know, it's kind of an interesting statement because I have known people who were miserable in the spiritual path. There don't seem to be many around me right now. Or if so, they're not letting me know about it. But in an earlier time, you know, like years ago, there were people in my orbit who I would say were engaged in spiritual practice out of guilt. They were engaged in spiritual practice because of the I am bad belief, which, you know, is there, but somehow they had this idea that the way to escape being bad was to wake up. And they weren't really trying to wake up or trying to realize truth because they wanted truth. They were trying to wake up or trying to realize truth because they wanted to escape who they were. Kind of reminds me of what Craig was saying a while ago about, you know, he hated himself and he was, you know, he wanted himself to end, but it was out of hate. It'd be interesting now if he was here so that I could ask him if this was the same thing and if he found the spiritual practice very difficult then. You know, what she's saying is if you're not coming from love, if you're not coming from wanting to do this, it's going to be painful. I mean, that's not any different than anything else. Like if you're, you know, exercising every day, but you hate it, and you drag yourself to the gym and exercise, it's no fun. But if you love exercising and you want to go, even though some days maybe you don't quite feel like it, 5 minutes into it, you're having fun because you love exercise, right? And it's the same thing with spiritual practice. If you're doing it because you want to, it's going to be great. But if you're doing it, you know, out of, you know, some other sense of trying to escape, you know, trying to, you know, get away from yourself or something, you know, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be painful. Your mind, you're listening to the ego. It's like the ego is the one bringing you into the spiritual practice. So you're going to listen to the ego heavily when it tells you what a loser you are, how bad you're doing. I mean, you're going to suffer because of the voice you're listening to. That's a good way to put it. So always follow your heart. Trust yourself and follow your heart. And if you aren't wanting to get up and spend the first 4 hours of your day in spiritual practice like I like to, and the truth is I'd spend more if I could. You know, right now 4 hours is about all I can squeeze in. By 9, I got to start working, you know, and I can't get up any earlier than 5, so it is what it is. But, you know, if work, you know, started to disappear so I could sit there till 10, 10:30, 11, 11:30, I guarantee you I'd be there because I love it. That's what matters. Do you love it? Is this where you want to be? That's the requirement. All right, releasing the mic.
effort on something that is not for you. Okay?
Yeah, and you know, we have been listening to you lately, and so this question is now for others, not my question. You've already answered my questions. Thank you for what you've given me. But now for my friends. Some friends have listened to you, and also another person that we've been listening to recently, Michael Langford, and you, the two of you really, I think, teach the same thing. And both of you talk about how rare this is. And, of course, you say, if you're not ready, this path is not for you. And some friends feel very disappointed. you know.
Is it disappointing? Yeah. So what? Accept that. Why are you banging yourself against the wall for something is not even for you? If it's not meant to be for you from beginning, you need to accept that.
You know, I think what she's saying is pretty important. Why are you banging, she says, banging yourself against the wall. I see it as banging your head against the wall. Why are you banging your head against the wall if it's not for you? And again, the way to know whether it's for you or not is, do you want to be here? Is this what you want? And only you can answer that question. If you want to be here, if you want to be engaging in spiritual practice, if this is your love, trust me, it's my love. If this is your love, then this is where you belong. But again, if it's coming from, you know, something else, like you think something's wrong with you and you're trying to fix yourself through spiritual practice and it's really no fun and you hate it and you'd really rather be somewhere else, but you know, this voice just keeps telling you got to fix yourself and you just hate it. Then she says, accept that. This isn't for you right now. It isn't your calling. Follow your heart and be mindful. And again, I don't hear a lot of you writing to me and saying, you know, I really hate this. Do I have to do this? So I'm not sure that even applies to any of you. Maybe it does, but I'm not sure. You know, there was a time earlier in my life when I was getting emails like that from people, you know. So I don't know where those people have gone now. They don't seem to be here anymore. They probably, you know, found their own way to wherever they wanted to be. But the answer is no, you don't have to. No, you don't have to. You do this because it's your calling, because it's your heart, because it's where you want to be. It's how you want to spend this lifetime, right? You know, like if you knew you were going to die a year from today, like, you know, somebody came down and said, you are going to die at 7:56 p.m. exactly 1 year from today. Please spend the next year doing what you want to do the most. Would you do spiritual practice? Or would you go do something else? Right? What would you do? I would still do spiritual practice at least 4 hours a day if I knew I was going to die a year from today. In fact, I might try and fit more in because that's what I want to do with the last year of my life. That's what I want to do with my everyday. All right, let's listen to it just a little bit more. We only have 3 minutes left, but let's see what we hear next.
It brings you also freedom. That's another kind of freedom. Because we ultimately are looking for freedom. Freedom can gain so many different ways, not just one way. Freedom means I accept what I'm here for. And I'm going to just make the best out of that. That is freedom.
So put in another...
Yeah, so what she's saying is freedom is following your heart. If you don't want to do spiritual practice, you want to learn to play the piano. Freedom is going and learning to play the piano. If you don't want to do spiritual practice, you want to get a degree and become an entrepreneur. Freedom is getting a degree and becoming an entrepreneur. Right? Freedom is following your heart instead of your guilt, your unworthiness. And she says you can be free right now. You don't need spiritual practice to be free. You just need to know what you want and follow that. All right, turning the mic back over. Oops. I clicked on the hand instead of the mic. Okay, turning the mic over.
The way people are, in effect, delaying their happiness by imagining that they have to have this prize instead of just being happy right here, right now.
Yes, because, how can I say, this prize that you're talking about, this gem, is valuable.
Whoops.
Only for the people who are the truth seekers.
And I think another thing I'm hearing right now, again, from my friends is, I think that there's an idea that gets in the mind that, and I know you're not saying this, but I think there's an idea.
Okay, I think that's a good place just to stop it. So if you will just let me know where that is. Of course, you know, we can both keep a record of where we are, and we'll continue from here next time at this minute point. But again, where she ended, that last thing is, this is awakening is a prize only for those who truly want awakening, right? Just like becoming an entrepreneur is a prize only for the one who really wants to be an entrepreneur. Otherwise, it's a burden. Also, the way that we're going through this, I'm not going to be able to finish this next week, which is supposed to be the end of this mini-series. So if you all are interested, and you can just let me know by just typing on the board now, we have the first 2 weeks of July will be Paul Hederman. But then I can continue this just until we finish. So if you'd like me to do that, we will do that. So we'll take 2 weeks off for Paul Hederman in the first 2 weeks of July and then continue. So that's it for today, and we'll begin again next week. And you all have fun. And, yeah, I'm seeing some yeses there, so we'll do that. Okay?